Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are trying to reach my guest, Karen Berg, who is in England. So we are trying to get her on the phone line as quickly as we can. Her book is called To Be Continued, and it is about reincarnation and the purposes of our lives and much more than that. So as soon as we are able to get her online, we will be bringing her on. Meanwhile, what I wanted to do was give you a quote here, or share with you, I should say, a quote, because I just feel after so much that I have been observing in media and commentaries and various points of information that I have been, again, observing, and I sort of stand back and analyze things and say, okay, what positioning do I want to take on this? And that is a thinking positioning. Well, I came across this quote by Thomas Dreyer that I think really says a lot. This is how the quote reads. The world is a great mirror. It reflects back to you what you are. If you're loving, if you are friendly, if you are helpful, the world will prove loving and friendly and helpful to you. The world is what you are. And just those six words, the world is what you are, they're very powerful words. And it brought to mind a story that someone told me so many years ago, and I'll share it with you. It's a fable. And it is about a ferryman. And the ferryman is doing what every ferryman does. He has his platform. He moves from one shore, crossing very, very heavy waters, to another shore. Goods, people, that's how they get from one side of the river or the flowing water to the other side. And he does this. This is the same stuff day after day after day. Well, this one day, there is a young man that wants to have passage on his ferry. That's fine. He asks the young man where he's come from. The young man tells him where he has come from. And as the ferryman is taking him across the waters, the young man tells him that he's going into this particular town. And he said, it is a new experience for me. I don't know anything about the town. Do you know the people of the town? The ferryman then asks the young man, well, what were the people like where you came from? Young man said, oh, they were horrible. They were liars. They were thieves. I'm leaving the environment because it was so ugly. It was absolutely terrible. And he looked at the young man thoughtfully. He said, you will find the same thing in this town that you go to. I know it well. What you found in the other town, you'll find there. Well, the day goes on. There's another young man that comes up that wants to be ferried to the other side of the river. This ferryman picks him up, and this young man also is on his way to this same town. And the man asks him, well, what's it like in the town you came from? The young man said, oh, it's wonderful. This is a wonderful place. He said, I really hated to leave it, but I'm ready for adventure, and I'm ready to move on into a new experience. When they landed the ferry, the young man, just before they got there, asked the man, tell me, what are the people like in this town that I'm going to? And the wise old ferryman looked at him and said, it is exactly, very much like, the town that you have left. May you find the adventure and the joy in equal measure in this new experience. Now, what is the world? How is it seen? Each of these individuals had their perspectives, and don't we all? So we need to ask ourselves, how we could examine the filters that we carry. Can we change our filters so that we have an expectancy, not only an expectancy, but we live our lives with an attitude that we're going to leave this world a better place than maybe perhaps when we first found ourselves awake and aware of it. And I wanted to share with you a story that Andrea Craig shared with a number of people, and she's from New York. And again, this just sort of fits right in with the theme. She said, I really do love the city that I live in, and there's 8 million people in the city, and I'm always inspired by the people that live here. But there was a woman by the name of Mary that especially touched her heart and her mind. Did she know Mary? No, she didn't know Mary at all. Mary apparently was from New England. She moved to New York in the 1940s. She was widowed when she was quite young, and she had lived alone in a two-bedroom apartment in Manhattan's East Side. Now, the decor of the apartment was circa 1950s. She never updated it. She just left it as it was. Now, she died in February of 2011. She was 88 years old at the time of her passing. Now, with her will, she left some unusual requests. One was that she didn't want her obituary published at all. However, she got coverage in all of the newspapers and other periodicals when it was found that this quiet lady, Mary McConnell Bailey, had left $10 million to two of her favorite city environments. One, the New York Public Library, and the other one was the Central Park Conservancy. How in the world had this woman, who had lived in a very simplistic style, no one knew that she had all this money. Nobody knew. She never broadcast. What they found out in the research is that she had inherited the money from her family many, many, many years before. But she chose to live her life in her own way. Now, Andrea's comment on this was, Mary was very generous with this gift of $10 million. She said, I don't have $10 million. It's not likely I'll ever have $10 million. However, she said, I was really impressed with this woman, who in the world of today, nobody would have given any thought to at all. She was nondescript, you might say. But she said her humility and her generosity was phenomenal. Mary left a huge gift to the world. Not because she had to. Mary could have spent every penny of it. How many stories do we hear about people who win the lottery and they're broke within 5 years for all the millions they may have? Well, Mary chose to live in a different way. It's not good. It's not bad. She just chose her way. She did it because she wanted to. She did it because she could. Mary McConnell Bailey, you're a wonderful example to all of us about living life in our own purpose, in our own way, and thinking about whatever legacy you may have, financially or otherwise, giving it to where you really want it to go. This is Donna Siebel, and I want to let you know we're going to make it an open mic hour now. Karen Berg, we have not been able to reach her so far. We're waiting for her to call in. And I'm going to open up the phone lines if you'd like to chat with me today, 888-627-6008. And when Karen calls in, then we will go ahead and we will be sure to bring her online immediately. But isn't Mary's story amazing? You just never know about people and what their passions are and what it really means a lot to them. This is Donna Sebo, and again, we're waiting for my guest, Karen Berg. And if you want to give me a call, 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into. Well, my goodness, I'm going to be on my way up to the far north, to Alaska. I'll be up in Alaska on the 29th of this month, and I will be in Fairbanks the 29th through May 2nd, and then the evening of May 2nd to May 6th, I am going to be in Anchorage. So for those of you that are up in the far north, if you'd like to meet with me, give me a call at my office number, which is 253-582-5604. What is one of the major items that's always associated with Alaska? Always. It is salmon. I know that salmon travel a long distance, but are you aware they have to travel up Alaska's Copper River system to their spawning grounds 300 miles? That's a long way for these phenomenal fish to go. They've been doing it for millennia, and it's just an incredible thing to see. Absolutely an amazing thing to see. I can remember talking with one of my clients years ago who lived in the Kenai Peninsula, and he said the salmon were so thick you could literally walk on their back across certain waterways. He said it was just phenomenal. And there are times when it hasn't been so dense and other times when it has. Now, what they're anticipating this year of the Copper River King salmon, and they are beautiful, beautiful fish, is 20,000 of them. And something you should know, Alaska is one of the leading places in the world that really monitors fishing. And they are very, very strict with their fishing rules because there's been so much overfishing, obviously. And up in Sitka, there are places where they have their monitoring station because there is a cycle. The krill come in, then the bigger fish come in, and the bigger fish come in. It's an amazing phenomenon when you become aware of nature and how life follows life. And it is something that if ever you have a chance to explore it, maybe you're not a big fish eater. Well, that's fine. Maybe you really have never been interested in fish, but what you find is that there's a lot of lessons to be learned about the ecological balancing systems. And I think hats off to the Alaskans because they have set the pace long before many other places in the world have. And one of the things that professional fishermen told me, oh my goodness, this had to have been a good 20 years ago, they said that it was going to be more sports fishing in the future than what we would consider the typical fishing style, where you just go out and fish until everything's full up and then you take it in. The world is different today. We have 7 billion people on this planet that have to be fed. And so it doesn't take long to decimate the fishing environment. It doesn't take long to decimate anything. So we're learning that we have to be caretakers much differently than our ancestors were. And they didn't know. They didn't live in a world that was so massively populated, that had so many different aspects in its environment as we do today. But we're learning, we're doing, and there are dedicated people out there that are really saying we can make a difference. So keep up on a lot of this. Some of it, yep, I know, there are some exaggerations, and I don't disagree with that. But I do think that we need to be aware that we are all caretakers in one way or another. I wanted to share some information with you today. And by the way, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008 is the number. And I want to say, Karen Berg, I have a suspicion, because she's in England and there's a major time difference between where she is and where I am, she may have gotten the time wrong. So regardless, we are going to rebook her if she is not available today. So We're opening phone lines at 888-627-6008. Smart car keys. Yes, smart car keys. You find that you use them, and so many people get very concerned. What if you end up locking your keys in the car, quote unquote? And there's just so many things we need to be aware of. And as technology evolves, we are going to find out more and more how to be more efficient and more effective with what we've got. Well, transponder keys and smart keys for cars, trucks, and SUVs are, well, we're going to have to learn how to be comfortable with this. When you rent a car, they give you that. It's not the big deal. The device obviously allows you to open doors, start engines, and if you've ever been in a parking lot and can't figure out which row you're in, it's pretty cool. I know. I really am fascinated with this technology. And the reality is apparently you're less likely to lock the keys in your car because they keep improving these smart car keys, and they're concerned about security, also convenience. And there are so many things that are going on. Now, we have to look at the other side of it. The benefits that we are enjoying because of these smart keys can be extremely expensive if we lose or mishandle one of these modern keys. A transponder key, believe it or not, costs about $100 to replace. Ouch. You know, compared to five or six that you used to have just to replace a car key. And replacement smart keys can cost several hundred dollars, depending on the make and model. And this comes from the AAA, and they said this is what it is all about. The costs for replacement include replacing the key or the fob, cutting the mechanical portion of the key, programming the vehicle immobilizer to recognize the new key, and other steps that they have to take. So you must be very alert and aware that you've got to take care of those keys, especially the newer models, the newer transponder and smart keys. Now, you want to be aware of a few things. One, to protect, and other, to, you know, not lose it. You don't want to expose your keyless entry remote or your smart key to water, to any kind of harsh elements. You really have to pay attention. You should get a spare, and you need to store it someplace safe for emergency use only. Now, that's a big one, isn't it? How many times are we told, don't put something under the frog in front of the front door, or don't put it underneath the fender, you know, whatever, if you have a fender on your vehicle. Some vehicles really don't have much of a fender, but you really need to think about this. And I know for years I've always carried a double package of keys with me, because I can't tell you, there have been times I locked myself out of the car. All I had to do it was once. And I said, I've got to make sure. And I do this with my house keys as well. House keys and car keys, double set. Now, the dilemma is if you leave your purse in the vehicle and you lock yourself out, then you got a challenge because your cell phone is probably in your purse. I haven't done that one yet. Thank you very much. No, I've left it at home. But and that was a story that I gave in one of my newsletters. But when these things happen, it's just unbelievably nerve-wracking. And to avoid a keyless entry remote or smart key failure, you need to make sure you replace your key fob battery every 2 years or whenever it's recommended by the vehicle manufacturer or the in-car low battery warning system. Now, that is something you never had to worry about before with regular keys. You just had your key. So now you've got these batteries. So every 2 years, they need to be replaced. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008 if you'd like to give me a call. And if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, just relax. I'll tell you what I perceive. And, of course, you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you are concerned about. Seatbelts. Boy, this is so important. It is extremely important. And I happened to watch a program on a woman, and she had been, well, she was quite young. She was in her late teens, and she had been driving. She was doing everything right. There was nothing wrong with her driving when somebody else lost control of the car. Now, she was not wearing a seatbelt, and she ended up being hit in the rear by someone that lost control of their vehicle, and then there was another oncoming vehicle, and to try to avoid her, they tried to move out of the way. She ended up ramming into them, and of course, no seatbelt on, and she was bounced around like a ping pong ball, and what happened is her spinal cord was severed, and she survived because there were two men that rescued her. But she goes around today talking with teenagers in school saying, please be sure you wear your seatbelt. And she was rescued, and she, as a mature woman today, she really wants people to know how important that is. Well, among teenagers, we all know that speeding is a big deal. Well, she wasn't speeding. This wasn't something that was her fault at all. It was being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Unfortunately, she had two very, very fine men that rescued her from a car that exploded within minutes after the second impact occurred. And though she's been paralyzed, basically, from the waist down, she said, I have just been so grateful that I was able to survive this tragedy. And she's gone on, she's gotten married and done all of this. But she said, it's so important for you to recognize not only should you wear a seatbelt, but don't drink and drive. And this is something that I wish more adults paid attention to. You know, we talk to the kids, that's important, but the adults need to set the example. And sadly, here in the state of Washington, we've had more than one incident where someone that has been convicted of drunk driving is still on the road driving. They're still out there. And we had an incident just recently where a mother and her children were killed. And this is, you know, the guy... He had two or three major offenses already, and it is no wonder why people get so frustrated. But I always say, if the adults don't give a good example, then how can you expect the young people to follow suit? Because they are not going to be, well, Dave, what did I do with the quote? The world is your mirror, right? Kids mirror what they see many, many times. Donna Siebel, 888-627-6008, if you'd like to chat. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we have a lot of very, very enthusiastic mushroom hunters. Yes. These are people... Excuse me just a moment. Sorry, something went down the wrong pipe. Anyway... These are people, they absolutely love being out of doors. They love being in the environments where they can search and they can explore. Now, when I was going through the information about mushrooms, so many of them have strong medicinal qualities. A lot of them just have this wonderful flavor, this earthy flavor that people really like in food. But I didn't realize that when people are involved with this, they're also looking for other things like wild onions. Now, you can go to your state, go to the Fish and Wildlife website for wherever you are, whatever country you're in, a department that would be equivalent to that. And if mushrooms are prevalent in your environment, you really need to become educated about them, because you can die from eating mushrooms. There are some that are extremely toxic. And this is very, very important. And the Native Americans really knew about how to work with mushrooms and which ones were edible and which ones weren't. And there is just so much knowledge here that is available to you. And I just think that we need to pay attention if about what we do. And there's various groups and clubs. They're called mycological societies. Mycological societies, and that's spelled M-Y-C-O-L-O-G-I-C-A-L. Now, here in the Pacific Northwest, we have one of the largest in the nation, and you can go to their website, namyco.org/club. That's N like Nelly, A, M like Mary, YCO.org/club. And you can go out with these people, and they say, if you're not sure about what you're picking up, don't pick it up. Don't eat it. Because, again, you have to understand that some of these are very, very toxic. Now, these wild onions, what did I know about wild onions? I didn't know anything about wild onions. I'm acquainted with the onions in the grocery store. And I'm acquainted with those that maybe grew in certain gardens. Well, those are domesticated, obviously. If you harvest a plant that looks like one, but doesn't have its particular smell, it could kill you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'll go to the grocery store. But for those of you that just love to get your hands dirty and like being in an environment that teaches you how to develop your senses and your exploratory nature just loves the challenge, well, by golly, you are going to really have a good time with this. And it's a wonderful project. Here in my neighborhood, we find that a lot of mushrooms start popping up in the fall. We have mushrooms that are as big as dinner plates. And it's absolutely amazing to look at them. And they come in all kinds of colors. They're just absolutely fascinating to see. And what's even more amazing is how fast they grow. When it is their time, they come up so quickly, you can literally watch a mushroom grow in front of your eyes. And you're not going to go to sleep. I mean, it's that it happens that quickly. So I just thought I would share that with you because there are so many things that you can enjoy. And, you know, if you have a family, kids can be taken along with this because you're going to supervise them, but it gives them a chance to explore. And it gives them a chance to get dirty, number one, which is a healthy thing. But number two, it makes them aware of the interaction of life and how many species depend upon each other, yes, even plant species, not just animal, but plant. And there's this wonderful ecosystem, and you have to be awake to be able to recognize it. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break for a moment. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into if you would like to chat with me. And we've got more good things to share. So I'll be back with you in just a little bit. Don't go away.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008, and that again is 888-627-6008. If you are a first-time listener, I'm so delighted you're joining us. Also, just know I just need your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. By the way, tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Catherine Ravenwood, how to create sacred water. And this is something, again, living in the Pacific Northwest, I call it liquid gold, because without it, we wouldn't have the lushness of life that we've got around us. And it's just so fabulous. But I want you to know that there's more to water than you would imagine. This planet couldn't exist without it. We cannot do without water. We can do without food for a while, but with water, nope, you don't have it. You're not going to make it. There's enough stories that bring that point home. I wanted to share with you a story about a woman. Her name is Adana. And she said, losing a job is difficult, no matter what your age. And that's the truth. I don't care whether you're a young person, middle-aged, or older. It doesn't make any difference. When you've been dependent on a certain amount of income, well, it's hard. And a lot of Americans are going through this today. Because of technology, many jobs are being eliminated. Because of the economy, people are having to streamline. So maybe they're not hiring as many people as before. There are so many components that go into creating a job environment. Well, that's what happened with Donna. Her name is Donna Powell. And she was divorced. And she said, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? Now, this is a woman that was very consistent, very dependable, somebody that was very committed to the job she was working with. And out of the blue, a situation happens with a family member. It was her son. He had a seizure. And they did an MRI on him, and they found that he had this massive tumor in his brain. Well, her bosses said, go be with your son. This is very, very important. And he lived in another state. So she went to be with him, and she said, I was just frantic with worry. He was getting chelation. He was getting chemotherapy, radiation. And she was just totally, totally in that zone of how's their son going to turn out? All of us who have had loved ones that have gone through something like this are very dear friends. We know what that feeling is like. Nothing else really matters. The time came when Donna was able to go back to work. She was not surprised, however, when her boss said to her, Donna, we're going to have to let you go. And she said, I really wasn't surprised because I'd become so involved with my son. I wasn't producing on my job. It wasn't their fault. I wasn't going to blame them. Although people she talked with, oh, that's terrible. They shouldn't have let you go, so on and so forth. But she said, no. She said, I really have to be with my son. She said, in a way, losing my job was a blessing. Now, how was it a blessing? It was a blessing because she was able to be with her son as eventually he passed away. So she spent her time doing what she really wanted to do, spending it with the son she loved so much. However, she was having a challenge. She didn't have a job. Her savings she had used for groceries. She had cashed in her 401k. Donna said, I've got to find work. Now, something I didn't tell you. Donna's 61 years old. That's right. She said she had no idea how difficult it was going to be for her to find a job. They loved her resume. She got excellent references, even from her former boss. Soon as they saw her, white hair. Whoa, that was it. They really didn't want to consider it. So she said, all right, what do I do? instead of staying in a pity pot, and don't think she wasn't scared because she was, she said, what is it that I have a talent for? What can I do? Well, Donna loved to work on computers. She found that she loved to design things. She had an artistic streak. She said, I wonder if I could get into web design work. So this is what she did. Donna did not stay in a pity pot victimization positioning. She sent out an email to nearly everyone she knew, and there were more than 100, saying that she was available to help people with their projects. Guess what? She got an email from a business person in Texas. They wanted to know if she could help them with her website. She said, well, tell me what you need. And I don't know. I'm not really sure to do what you've asked. I'm not really experienced in it. Guess what this person said to her? They said, you know what? I've already hired you, so you figure it out. That was a big leap of faith on the part of the client. Well, Donna said, okay, I'm going to figure it out. And she did. She checked every venue she possibly could, figured it out. But what it also encouraged her to do, she enrolled in an art institute in Charleston, South Carolina, because that's where she was living, to learn more about graphic and web design. Now, she did have to cut down on a lot of things because, one, she didn't have income. Two, she was by herself. So she said, she talked to herself. She'd say, don't think of what you're losing, because she had to move into a smaller place. And she got rid of her new vehicle that she had gotten and got a used car. She said, don't think of what you're losing. Think of what you're gaining. Now, what an affirmation. Don't think of what you're losing. Think of what you're gaining, because you're moving into new territory. Now, she said, there were times she got frustrated because when she's in these classes, she would say, oh, my goodness, because I'm an older person, it's taking me longer to learn this stuff. If only I were younger. Well, she said, enough of that stuff. What did she do? She hired a tutor. She was three times the age of some of the students, but you know what? They helped her out. They loved working with her. This is what they called themselves, Granny and the Geeks. That's right. That's what they call themselves. And I think it is fabulous. Now, she needed to get hired, so she opened up on her own because she said nobody wants to hire a woman that is in her 60s. So she officially opened her own web studio called Charleston Web Weaver. And you can check her out, charlestonwebweaver.com. She was designing sites eventually for a bakery, a furniture shop. Habitat for Humanity contacted her, even a dog park. They've used her more than once. But you know what? Out of this also came something she did not expect. A new love, romance. She has met a wonderful man by the name of Jerry. She also has four new furry fur persons, Zorro, Bam Bam, Casper, and Nitro. And you know what? She's so good now, her kids come to her for computer issues. She does volunteer job counseling for women over 50. She said, for those of you that get discouraged, that you think your life has absolutely nothing to offer as an older person, get with it. She said, none of these wonderful things would have happened to me if I hadn't opened myself up to a new life. It's really true that it's never too late to start over. She brainstormed. She brainstormed with people that she knew. But there is something else here. When people know that you're trying to do something and you put out a call, you don't sit in that little isolation chamber you build for yourself, but you put out a call and say, I need help. I want to know what I can do. This is what I'm looking at. Will you help me? Lots of people step up to the mark. What goes around comes around. She had always been a very generous person. She had done everything to the best of her capacity. But when she was in her 60s, life threw her some big watermelons. And it's not fun to get hit by a bunch of watermelons, especially when they're not cut. Thunk. Everything is a mushy mess. But she took the initiative. She was willing to brave the unknown. And any of us can do that at any given time. And it's important. I think one of the hardest lessons that I had to learn was to not take on this long-suffering martyrdom image. That has been promoted so many times, and you know what? Martyrs are all dead when you think about it. So why do you want to be dead in the water? You don't. Open up your mouth and speak out. I think of a woman I'm aware of. She's in her 40s. She's intelligent. She's attractive. She's got all of these skills. She's homeless. She's been that way for years. She doesn't need to be homeless. But she got locked into her own pity pot paradigm. And instead of stepping up and stepping out, she has been leaning on an attitude that somebody else has to take care of her. Well, part of this comes from her background. But it taken her a while to recognize she has to be the initiator of action. There's no knight in shiny armor that's going to come along on a horse. There's no fairy godmother that has an abundance of magic wands to hand out, to hand out to people. Doesn't work that way. But the magic happens when you have faith in yourself and allow other people to know that you're ready to invest in yourself, which she did by going on for additional education. I like Granny and the Geeks. What an alliance. And the generation gap, non-existent. Good stuff, don't you think? I think so. Just remember Donna Powell, if ever you get that, oh, woe is me attitude if you're an older individual. And for those of you that are younger, wake up, for heaven's sake. Don't worry about it. And if you're somewhere in between, get to your library. Go to get those books that don't cost you a penny. Check them out. Read about people that have overcome circumstances that are far worse than yours. If you're not a big book reader, then start reading magazines. But start reading. Spend time visiting, getting to know people that have made a difference in life because they've stepped up to the task of whatever a moment might present them. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I wanted to share some wacky superstitions about some food. And I just think it's so much fun because a lot of superstitions evolve. due to certain circumstances. And people will often promote them because it gives them a sense of security. Lots of them are based in fear. But interestingly enough, most of it's based because of an environment that someone's in and what they've experienced. Now, in Romania, I'm sure this one came about because Mom wanted to make sure that nothing was wasted. And this is, if you eat all the corners of your bread, you'll have a good relationship with your mother-in-law. I really think that some mother somewhere said, this is what you need to do to make sure that young people didn't waste their food. And in Korea, and this again is something that I think came about because they were trying to communicate you had to be aware of what you ate. Remember what I was talking about, mushrooms earlier? Well, in Korea, they'd say, don't eat damaged or asymmetrical food when pregnant or your baby will be ugly. Now, if you think about that, if your food is moldy, it's poisonous, isn't it? It can be very toxic to your system. So this is something that probably evolved out of that. And having harmony and symmetry in your life means balance. So that is something from Korea. And then in Germany, they had this one. Immediately after someone dies, the crops in the storehouse should be shoveled and the wine in the cellar shaken. Otherwise, the grain will not grow and the wine will go sour. Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's not even logical. But let's say someone in the family, a husband in the family dies. You've got a crop that has to be harvested. You have wine, which is one of the things that people had to replace water because water was very polluted. So what do you do? I mean, it's a momentum, meant to be a momentum to help people get things done. This is Donna bias, by the way. Now, in Canada, this one really made me laugh. If a pregnant woman craves fish and doesn't eat it, her baby will be born with the head of a fish. Now, who in the world came up with that? Well, think about it. Fish, before we had such a polluted situation with our waters, is one of the most beneficial foods that a woman can eat relative to its nutritional capacity. And so certain foods would contribute to a healthy child. But born with a head of a fish? You got to be kidding me. And then a soft-boiled egg. I mean, these are really fun. Eating a soft-boiled egg, you push a spoon through the empty shell's bottom to let out the devil. Now, how in the world did he get involved with an egg? Who did that? I bet you $10 to a donut. It is some mom somewhere, and the other moms picked it up and said, good idea. This is a good thing. I really think moms have something to do with this. And then throwing rice at a newly married couple encourages any jealous spirits that might be hovering nearby to eat rather than bother the bride and groom. And that comes out of China. That comes out of China, throwing rice. Well, rice was the mainstay of the Asian diet for so many people. It also is showing abundance when you're throwing rice because you're saying there is so much, we are covering you with it. This is how your life will be, abundantly rich. Oh, and by the way, the concern about throwing rice harming birds, they found it doesn't harm the birds. The rice, the birds pick it up, they eat it. Birds pick up all kinds of things to eat, so don't worry about it. If you have chickens, they love it. It gives them something for their gizzards to keep them healthy. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Catherine Ravenwood, and we're going to be discussing how to create sacred water, which I think you will enjoy quite a bit. I do want to remind those of you up in Alaska that I am going to be coming up there as of Monday. I'll be up in the state of Alaska from April 29th to May 6th, and I'm really, really looking forward to being up there and visiting one of my favorite places on the face of the earth. More and more, there are people that are coming forth talking about being able to materialize items or working in trance. And, of course, being in the work of mind, as I've been for so much of my life, I know that one of the publications that had a significant impact on me after I went through a number of very profound experiences of my own was the book by Thomas DeGruy, There Is a River. And it is the story about Edgar Cayce, who is the sleeping prophet. Now, what was so unique about Cayce is that in 1901, he put himself into a self-induced hypnotic trance. And it was at that time he gave his very first medical reading. And that's what Cayce was known for, among a number of other things. And he correctly diagnosed his own ailment and prescribed a cure for himself. Now, I say he's doing this, but actually there was an energy, that is the term that would be used, that worked through him. Cayce was the vehicle, but he was in this altered state. Now, he didn't have any kind of medical training. That wasn't it. And he had a secretary that when he was doing this would keep records on everything. And you can go to the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and you will be able to see all kinds of records that documented what he did. In fact, over 14,000 readings were recorded in his 44 years of doing the work. And he could do it around the world. He just lay down on a couch and then the energy would come through him and talk and give information. Now, the first sign of Edgar Cayce's abilities showed up when he was about 9 years old. His dad was just really frustrating with him because he couldn't seem to do anything. He couldn't read. He couldn't spell worth anything. And he really was upset with him. In fact, he was so upset with him that he hit his son, Edgar, knocked him off his chair. And Edgar, when he was laying on the floor, hears this voice, if you sleep a little, we can help you. So Edgar begged his dad to let him go take a nap, and he fell asleep on his spelling books. When he awakened, he could spell every single word in the book. The talent stayed with him for the rest of his life. Well, there's a lot more to the Edgar Cayce story, but we are out of time. One day we'll chat about it a little bit more, because I think this is a very special man who, when the information went public about what he did, transformed the lives of hundreds of thousands. And today, it's touched millions of people. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, know that the world is your mirror. Choose what you want to see. Choose to be who you want to be. And remember Donna Powell. She's a woman that took what could have been a devastating situation and turned it into something that made her life rich, full, on so many levels. You can do the same. Donna Siebel here. God bless. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.